Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 12 through 21, and reads as follows. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, pretty much everyone who calls himself a Christian, unless he is a follower of John Calvin, would correctly say that God wants to save all people. There's a lot of disagreement, however, about how the different denominations in outward Christendom would answer this question. How does God purpose to save sinners? Some say that it's God's plan to save them by empowering them to do good works so that they can then earn their salvation by such works. That's how the Roman Catholics would answer that question. Others will say that a sinner is saved through faith in Christ alone, and that sounds pretty good. That sounds like what the Bible teaches. But they do not teach correctly about the nature of faith. They regard faith to be a work that they produce in themselves. Now, the scriptures teach that saving faith in Christ is something that God alone is responsible for creating in the heart of a person. And our text for today emphasizes that what the Holy Ghost uses to accomplish that conversion, to bring people to faith, is the preaching of his word, particularly the gospel. Since the Lord desires to save all people, he therefore wants his saving gospel to be preached and be believed by all people. Let this then be the focus of our meditation today, that God wants to bring all people to faith through the gospel. We shall see in the first place that faith comes through the preached gospel. And secondly, that the gospel is for all people, both Jews and Gentiles. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. The gospel of God's rich grace in Christ Jesus is to be carried to all people of all nations. Our text for today says, There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. A person's race or nationality has nothing to do with it. God shows his grace to all, Jew and Gentile alike. The promise of the gospel is a promise of free forgiveness through Christ, without any merits or worthiness on the part of the individual sinner who receives that forgiveness. However, the Bible also stresses that there must be certain fruits of faith present when a person is a true believer. There will be certain good works that are there. One such fruit of faith, one that is sometimes called the breath of faith, is prayer. And that is what our text for today refers to, where we read, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Prayer is indeed a necessary fruit of faith. It's really always there if a person is a true believer. It may not always be perceived by others, because it may not always be done outwardly in a way that others can tell. It may just proceed silently from a Christian's heart, and of course is known to God. And he, of course, is the only one that we really need to hear our prayers, because it's to him alone that our prayers are addressed, and he alone is able to hear and grant our petitions. Now, as our text continues, the fruit of prayer is tied back to faith, from which it proceeds, and faith is tied back to the means used by God to create that faith, namely the preached word. We read, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Only believers can pray. And only those who have been exposed to the gospel of Christ can be brought to saving faith. And usually that happens, as our text sets forth, through preaching. That does not mean that someone couldn't come to faith through the reading of the scriptures. That could certainly happen, because the power is in the word. It's really not in the preacher of the word. It usually doesn't work that way, though, because law and gospel need to be rightly divided and applied to the sinner. And the person who's just reading the scriptures himself, if he's an unbeliever, generally doesn't apply law and gospel correctly. But that's where the preaching of the word from others comes in. That's why it's important for you, who know the scriptures correctly, to apply law and gospel in your preaching to them, as you talk to other people about the word. Of course, this also shows the importance of the office of the public ministry, the pastoral office. But how does one become a pastor? He does not appoint himself to this office. It's an office to which God calls him through the call of the congregation. In this way, Christ, the Good Shepherd, sends under-shepherds to tend to the spiritual need of his sheep. And so the Apostle Paul writes in our text, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, namely by God? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now the last part of that was a reference to Isaiah 52, verse 7, where we read, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion," which is the church, "thy God reigneth." That verse stresses the beauty and glory of the gospel, and by association, also the beauty and glory of the feet of those who bring the gospel. Why the feet? Because the feet are what bring the messenger near. Thus, we Christians are taught to esteem both the gospel and the one who proclaims the gospel to us. Sadly, instead of esteeming the gospel of God's grace, most people reject it as foolishness in their unbelief. And this is what St. Paul refers to in our text, where he paraphrases Isaiah 53, verse 1, saying, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Even though all people by nature know that there is a God from the existence of the world, the testimony of their conscience. And even though they know certain things about the law of God, they are completely ignorant of the gospel. And that's the heart and core of the Christian religion. That's what a person needs to know and believe if he's to be saved, the gospel of salvation through Christ. And sadly, because of original sin, when natural man hears the gospel, the only thing he can do of his own reason and strength is to regard it as foolishness and discard it. So, understanding how natural man is so completely opposed to the gospel, the obvious question is, how does anyone come to saving faith in the gospel? It's actually through the power of the preached word again. Our text says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Through the gospel, the Holy Ghost works regeneration, the new birth of faith, converts the heart, bringing the penitent sinner to a knowledge of and trust in Jesus, his Savior. Since, as our text says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it should clearly be recognized how important it is for you and me to tell other people about our Christian faith, to spread the word of God to others. So it does not just apply to the work of pastors in the congregation, but to every believer. Everyone who knows the word of God should be sharing that knowledge with others. Jesus wants that knowledge to be given really to all mankind. He commissioned his disciples to carry it to all the world. Our text for this morning says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." The oracles of God that had first been committed to the Jews were carried to all the world, first by those Jews who were dispersed following the Babylonian captivity, and then by Christian missionaries, such as the Apostle Paul, who preached the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But sadly, as more and more non-Jews were brought to know the Savior, the Jews by and large rejected the gospel. And they were filled with jealousy and anger against the Christian missionaries and against the Lord for extending his grace to Gentiles, those who were outside the nation of Israel, those who were spiritually ignorant, utterly foolish in their heathen upbringing. Thus we read in our text, "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith," and this is referring to something that we read in Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, "I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you." Indeed, the Jews became very angry when God brought in the Gentiles into his church. In the book of Acts, we learn that when Paul and Barnabas were preaching in a place called Antioch, Pisidia, that at first many people heard and the Jews tolerated their gospel preaching. But the next week, on the following Sabbath, when so many Gentiles came, multitudes of Gentiles came to hear the preaching, then the Jews were filled with jealousy and started arguing against the preaching of Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Unlike the Jews, the Gentiles at that time were raised without knowing the true God. They were raised without hearing the word of God every Sabbath as the Jews had. But God in his grace still revealed himself to them through the preaching of his word. And yes, Jesus commanded his disciples in the Great Commission to take his word to all nations. This was something also that was foretold in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah wrote, which the Apostle Paul refers to in our text. He's referring to Isaiah 65, verse 1, where we read in the next verse, "But Esaias is very bold," which means forceful and direct, "and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me." But lest anyone think that God was unreasonably quick to discard the children of Israel and exchange them for the Gentiles, St. Paul says in the last verse of our text, "But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." And that's a reference to Isaiah 65, verse 2. God had certainly shown much kindness and much patience to the Jews for centuries throughout the period of the Old Testament. But the Israelites rebelled and fought against their Lord again and again. Thus, they are described here as being disobedient and gainsaying, which means they consistently argued against the Scriptures, argued against the Word of God as brought to them by the prophets. It is, of course, true that such adjectives as disobedient and gainsaying would also accurately describe you and me by nature. All people in their natural condition are opposed to the Word of God. But thankfully, the Holy Ghost, through the power of that very Word, changed our hearts, changed us from being God's enemies to being His believing children, His loving followers, enlightening our spiritual understanding. Yes, the gospel of God's rich grace in Christ is that priceless treasure that bestowed faith upon us, through which we're kept in the faith, through which we're brought to everlasting life in heaven. So that gospel should be so precious to us. We should rejoice greatly in it and want to tell others about it, openly confessing our faith and trust in the priceless treasure, acknowledging our deep sinfulness and utter unworthiness. We should certainly grow in our appreciation for the forgiveness of sins that is ours only through Christ, as set forth in the gospel. And may we grow in demonstrating such gratitude to the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.